Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Dolor Industries Q4 FY23 results conference call hosted by ICICI Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on a touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Akshay Krishnan from ICICI Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Hi everyone. A very wonderful good afternoon, good evening to you. I trust you had a very great day. Representing ICICI, it's an absolute pleasure to host the results conference call of Dolor Industries Limited. The company is represented today by Mr. Ankit Gupta, President Marketing, and Mr. Ajay Patodia, CFO. Over to the management for the opening remarks, and after that, we'll open the floor for Q&A. Thank you.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us today to discuss the financial results for the quarter four financial year 2023 and financial year 2023. As we navigate through a challenging environment, I want to express my appreciation to our dedicated team for their unwavering commitment and hard work during this quarter. The hosiery industry has faced numerous obstacles, including global economic uncertainties and shift in seasonality and cyclical slowdown in discretionary demand. Despite these challenges, I am pleased to report that our company has demonstrated resilience and adaptability during the fourth quarter. Our revenues for the quarter showed a growth of 8%, along with the volume growth of around 37%. If we talk about FY23 versus FY22, then we have achieved volume growth of approximately 5%. The impact of volume growth in quarter four generated us a cash flow of rupees 140 crores. However, it is important to acknowledge that our financial results were not as robust as we had initially anticipated due to the ongoing industry headwinds. The hosiery industry, like many others, has experienced a volatility in raw material prices. This has put pressure on our margins. However, we expect FY24 to be good, with good demand for the products and controlled raw material prices, which will help us to maintain our margins. To strengthen our brand awareness, company has launched a new TVC for its regular segment, Dolor Always Lehar, by roping in Mr. Saif Ali Khan as brand ambassador for the same. We have also launched new product, Dolor Rain Guard, under umbrella brand Dolor. The new product is getting good response from the market and will add extra volume in company sale and strengthen our product portfolio. Our advertisement expenses for the year FY23 stood at rupees 101 crores, which is 7.22% of our total revenue, as compared to rupees 63.51 crores in FY22. Our premium segment brand Force Next and women segment brand Dolor Missy gave a growth of 15% and 10% in terms of volume for FY23. We are confident that both premium and women segment will help us in achieving volume growth in the future. Now, coming to Project Lakshya, this year FY23, we have added 87 distributors under this project, and currently we are sitting with 229 distributors up to March 2023, which was 142 distributors in FY22. We are happy to share that Project Lakshya contribution in company's domestic sale increased from 8.33% in FY22 to 19% in FY23. Company has already started implementation of Project Lakshya in Tamil Nadu, and MaxXTop retailers is in planning stage for Kerala. During the year, company opened 14 EBOs, exclusive brand outlets, to cater the demand of consumers and generate sales and increase brand awareness for the company. It will also help us change the perceived value in the minds of consumer. In order to cater the demand of consumers, we ensure to supply the products through various modern retail channels from where demand can be fulfilled, as a result of which our this particular business vertical, including e-commerce, showed a growth of 33% in terms of volume. We are confident of our long-term growth on the back of Project Lakshya, industry and economic drivers. Our commitment to sustainability remains a top priority. We continue to implement environmentally friendly practices throughout our operations, focusing on reducing our carbon footprint and promoting responsible manufacturing processes. This not only aligns with our core values, but also enhances our brand reputation and meets the growing demand for sustainable products. Thank you all. Now I would hand over the call to our CFO, Mr. Ajay Patodia.
Thank you, Ankit ji. Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining the call. Hope all of you are well. I will detail the financial performance starting with Q4. The revenue are, as now some of you have read, that it is rupees 407.57 crore compared with year-on-year rupees 375.72 crore, a growth of 8% over last year. Our EBITDA stood at rupees 12.83 crore as compared to rupees 59.17 crore in Q4 FY22, a degrowth of 78%. Profit after tax for the quarter stood at rupees 3.68 crore as compared to rupees 37.11 crore, a degrowth of 90% year-on-year. Coming to the FY23 performance, revenue stood at rupees 3098.52 crore as against rupees 1349.07 crore in FY22, a growth of 4% year-on-year basis. Our EBITDA for the FY23 stood at rupees 103.27 crore as compared to rupees 223.24 crore in FY22, a degrowth of 54%. Profit after tax stood at rupees 58.24 crore as compared to rupees 145.87 crore. A degrowth of 60%. Now moving on to brand-wise contribution in quarter 4 FY23, Big Boss contributed around 42%. Our Dollar Always regular contribute around 42%. Our women segment Missy contribute around 9%. Our premium segment Post NXT contribute around 4%, and Dollar Soaps 2%, and our champion kids brand around 1%. In FY23 full year, Big Boss contribution is around 42%, Dollar Always regular brand around 37%, our women segment Missy brand around 9%, our premium segment Post NXT around 4%, and Dollar Socks around 2%, and winter wear around 6%. With this, we will now open the floor for the question and answer.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question is from the line of Nirvana Laha from Nirvana Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks for the opportunity. So my question is on gross margin. So this quarter, we have seen that gross margins QOQ have dipped another 5%. Now, I think you're at 40%, which must be the lowest in last 7-8 years. So what I want to understand is it because you're still carrying a lot of high cost RM inventory? And secondly, since you use the weighted average costing for inventory, I think we were all expecting that your gross margin sequentially will expand, because in Q3 and Q4, you must have bought some low cost RM as well, right? So the weighted average costing should have brought the COGS down and the gross margin should have expanded, but the opposite seems to have happened. So can you explain this, please?
Yeah. Hi. That's true that we were also expecting that in Q4 we won't take a hit because of the high cost inventory, but again in quarter 4 we had to take a price reduction based on the overall industry scenario that was going in the market, and And also the what we thought that the cotton prices would get stabilized during the month of Feb. It was somewhere around 65,000, but currently it is running at somewhere around 55,000-56,000 per candy. So it was the expansion of the cost was mainly due to the high cost inventory that was lying in our books.
Okay, so in terms of realization this quarter, how much has average realization come down QOQ? I mean, what kind of price cut have you had to take?
So around 4-5% price cut we had to take in the Q4 itself.
Okay, and how much high cost inventory are you still carrying from when cotton prices were higher? So two questions actually. Do you expect this kind of price to now sustain, or do you expect further cuts in the next two quarters? And secondly, in terms of inventory, do you see that your COGS will now slowly start becoming lower cost, or are we going to remain at this level for the next two quarters?
We think that our COGS now is stable and our margin also expand because the ASP is already bottom out, and we think that this price may be the lowest in quarter four, and continuous we think that we get the good margin or good ASP in FY24, and we also have a growth in our GP percentage.
Okay, so you expect this quarter gross margins to have bottomed out?
Yeah.
Okay, and last question from my side. So our other expenses this quarter, if I look QOQ, while revenue has grown 41%, your other expenses also have grown 42%. So normally there's a fixed component to this other expenses and it shouldn't grow as fast as revenue. So can you comment on this? Are there some one-off expenses that or hits that you have taken this quarter?
In other expenses, our advertisement expense is also included. Our total advertisement cost is around FY23 is around 101 crore, with compared to FY22 it only 63 crores, and in quarter four it is around 20.41 crores, and with comparison to in quarter four year on year basis FY22 is 13 crores only. So 7 crore is from that, and in this quarter we have to take the provision. Also, some provision also for India's purpose, like we have our customer base, future lifestyle also in modern trade. We supply there for central stores and for brand factory. So, some inventory and some payment are pending with the future lifestyle. As the future lifestyle get the NCLT order on 4th of May, so we have to take the expected credit loss of 100% provision for this quarter as per accounting standard.
Okay, how much was that?
Around 5 crores.
5 crores. And can you give me the Q3 figure for ad spend? Q4 you said is 20.4 crores. What was the figure in Q3?
In Q3 our ad spend is around rupees 20.61 crores. And in Q2 it is around 25.32 crores.
Okay, alright. Thank you. I'll come back in this week.
Okay.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Ankush Agarwal from Surge Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. So firstly, so we have given a good volume growth for the quarter, but equally our value has grown by like around 29%. And you mentioned that we have taken a price cut about 4.5%. So I was trying to understand what led to such large value degrowth during the quarter. I believe it's not just the price cut. So if you can explain that.
So it was actually during the quarter, if we see the brand-wise growth or the contribution during Q4, it was mainly because of the economy range of products, Dollar Always, which is a regular product which we call. So we saw a volume growth of 53% in that particular range. And since it's a major chunk, that's why we saw ASP degrowth at a larger rate.
Got it. And secondly, so again on this profitability, so like can you explain a little bit more like what is affecting it? Because if I look at your traditional peers as well, both of them have reported around stable profitability sequentially or slight improvement, whereas we have seen another leg of sharp degrowth in profitability sequentially. So just I'm trying to understand, you know, what is affecting this because I mean, after 3-4 quarters of sustained, using high cost inventory, we believe that at some point of time it should have bottomed out, right? So, it's not adding up, to be honest. Like, after quarter, such kind of sharp reduction in gross profits.
So, if you ask me about the peer groups, I wouldn't be able to comment on that. But overall, on a yearly basis, if you see the GP margin with all the peer groups, it's almost at a similar level. Yeah, I understand that the profits have always been, if you look at the EBITDA margin from last 3-4 years, you'll always see that there's a gap between our EBITDA margins and the others. So, the kind of 4-5% price reduction that we had to take in the fourth quarter. So major chunk was that, and also the advertisement cost, which remains at a lower level. So last year, fourth quarter, we spent around 12 odd crores. But this year, fourth quarter, our spend was around 20 crores. So this is the main reason why, and also the provision that we took. Apart from that, on a yearly basis, we conduct a conference, a dealer's conference, distributor conference, to motivate the distributors to take the order booking to showcase our new products. This year, the expenditure was on a higher side, which also led to a low expanded other expenses, basically.
I was talking more from the gross margins perspective, not on the EBITDA level. Just a clarity over here. So, do you believe that from here onwards, say FY24, we would be able to revert back to a steady state gross margin, which is a normalized margin of somewhere around 55%? Would that be possible this year, or do you expect still like H1 we would still face issues on the gross margin side?
See, gradually, it's a process. So, gradually, yeah, obviously, we come to a steady state. But for looking at a gross profit, you should also include manufacturing or a job work expenses to be added to the COGS. Cost of material consumed must be added with the manufacturing cost as well to get the exact gross margin thing.
Yeah, so considering that also, do you believe FY24 would be a normal year, or it would be still a gradual recovery, and it's only by the time we exit FY24 we would be able to reach that level?
So yeah, gradually it will improve, and by the end of FY24 we should see a good improvement in gross profit margin.
Okay. I'll get back in the queue for follow-up questions. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Simranjeet Singh from Master Trust. Please go ahead.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity. Sir, I have two questions. My first question is, can you guide for some EBITDA margins in the FY24 and for FY25, if it's possible? Secondly, what will be the percentage of advertisement expenses as a percentage of sales we can expect in the FY24 going forward?
So advertisement cost for this particular fiscal would be somewhere around 6.5%.
Okay.
And that's what we are looking into. And apart from that, on the EBITDA margin side for this year, the guidance would be somewhere around 11-12% with a revenue growth of 12-13%.
Great, sir. Great. And have all the best, sir. All the best to your team.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Surya Narayan from Sunidhi Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah. So thank you for giving me opportunity. Just to understand the continuous rise in the inventory losses quarter on quarter. So where we end? So have we done with that, or still something is left for Q1 FY24?
With regards to high cost inventory?
Yes.
Yeah, high cost inventory is already we expected. This is already bottom out in the quarter four itself. And from now onwards...
Because if you see, last quarter we were around 65,000 and mm-hmm. We are down 10,000. Mm-hmm. Now 65,000 also is high.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously there will be again some heat on the gross margin for Q1.
But Suryanarayan, if you're looking our balance sheet, then our inventory level is already down. It is around 345 crore against 475 crore in last year. So I think that our high cost inventory is already optimized. And now in FY24, we have a good percentage of GP margin.
So what kind of, what is the policy of purchase of the raw material, especially the cotton? Whether you are buying for short duration or for 1 month, or how is it? Because I believe you could be buying for a longer period. That is why these losses are recurring.
It is actually dependent on the situation basis. Currently, we are not holding cotton more than 7 days. Because there is a pressure. Not more than 7 days. Because it contributes only around 20% of our total requirement. 80% of our total requirement of yarn and fabric we purchase from the market.
That comes to my second question is that as we are focusing more on the garment side, why at all will be increasingly be investing in the yarn side? Because we have intending to raise the capacity of yarn and at all what was the necessity? Because there is a glut in the market and it is available. So, all kind of goods are available and from the quality manufacturers. So, why itself it was necessary? Because at given point of time, we can get quality gray and gray fabric and get it converted. So, that is our forte rather than making the yarn and fabric all together. What was the necessity then?
As Suryanarayan, you are 100% correct. But our mill has, we already had the surplus land. So we only invested in the machinery part also, and the quality of the yarn we produce by imported machinery. We import machinery from Murata, and our plant, spinning plant, is the state of art technology, you can say. And the quality of yarn producer is used for our premium range of product only. So you are correct that we can purchase from the outside also, but the total contribution for the spinning plant is only 20% of our total production. And for quality purpose, for maintain our standard in premium segment, we just expense our spinning project. As we have the surplus land, we have to only install the machinery and the production is started.
So why are we not investing in the end product rather than the downstream or upstream thing? So that is my point.
Sorry, didn't get your question.
Why are we not investing in the downstream rather than upstream? If at all any investment has been made, then it can be scrapped off and let's say because we will be facing because cotton is quite volatile and obviously we have to deal with that. So rather than dealing with that, we can directly deal with the garment and so we should be more focused on the downstream.
So the major thing is ki this is one of a kind situation which has happened this particular fiscal in FY23. The industry has not seen such kind of a volatile raw material prices in decades. So based on just 1 year, 1 year problem or a 1 year setback, should not be a contributing factor that we should scrap a project or not. Also, the major problem that we were trying to solve by adding the capacity was So we have a vision of reaching 2,000 crores in a couple of years. So in order to happen that, we also need good quality yarns to maintain the product quality that we have. It's the quality of Dollar Industry Limited's product that speaks. We have the repeat customer of Dollar Industries are there because of the quality at a reasonable price. And that is why we are trying to maintain that 20% in-house yarn manufacturing, which was there earlier also. And that is why we increased the capacity.
But Ankit, is it actually okay, was it okay to reach a, let's say, COGS of around 75% to 76% and increase the turnover or activity level by achieving 42.4% kind of growth, that took 4.5% of reduction in the ASP? Was it meriting? Because sequentially our cost is rising from around 68% last year this time to around 75%. So was it required?
So
at least we could have, let's say, downplayed the market. What was the haste in chasing the market?
No, see, when you not purchase yarn from the market and directly purchase a fabric from the market, there is an extra cost added to it, right? So you won't be able to match that cost with the pricing that you have to give it to the market, right? There are n number of players in our segment. So it's not that we are dealing only in a very premium segment where one or two players are there, but there are n number of players in the market. Although we were able to achieve 53% growth in our economy range of products and 14% growth in our big box product, but it only happens when you can maintain a quality and still able to give product at a best possible price in the market. And you can't have a price difference with the peer group, let's say with Lux or a Rupa or a Amul, right? Mm-hmm. So we have to maintain that as well. So buying grey fabric is not a recommended thing for our particular target market. Like when we are serving a particular target market, which is mass India. So it is not recommended. That's why we procure yarn. And just to maintain that 20% of in-house yarn manufacturing, that's why we took that call 1.5 years back, ki we'll do the expansion, which is about to get commissioned in this particular fiscal. And overall, if you see the other peer groups also, their gross profit margin in Q4 was at a similar level at which we are. And at a yearly level also, it's on a similar line. So it's not that our gross profit margin decline is only contributed by the purchase of cotton. It's not like that.
Okay, because what my point is that the majority of the revenue we are getting from the economy range, because economy range, it is quite a commodity kind of thing, and there it was not required. And secondly, why at all a movie star was there as our brand celebrity? Why again there was necessity to go for another movie star especially to focus on the economy range? Economy range is anyway is our cash cow, it is running fine. So what was the necessity there?
So the call to take a celebrity face in our economy range of products is there were just two factors the kind of debate we had internally also. There were two factors that we need a face on the packaging, because due to the price increase that has happened in 1.5 years back, the cost of the product pricing has increased considerably in terms of MRP, and every other brand has a face on their packaging, and that's why it was initiated. That was one of the factor
But Ankit, even in this case, we have seen price cut of 4 to 5%. if let's say our pricing power was to remain intact, then obviously we could have at least maintained the price, not even caught the price. But that did not happen. And secondly, out of the around 20 to 25 crores of the run rate of our spend, how much is these celebrities are taking?
It's very minuscule as compared to the ad spend that we are doing. So if you ask me the total contribution of the money that we are giving it to the celebrities, it's like very negligible. It would be what around 2.5% of our total cost. So
okay, I'll come next week.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Rohit Suresh from Samatva Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening. Thank you for the opportunity. So my first question would be on the athleisure segment. So if I look like around FY18, FY19, the Forsex brand was only contributing around 2-3%. And if you take it 5 years down the line today, it's still contributing only around 3-4%. Whereas other brands are significantly improving the athleisure part. The competitive landscape has also increased. So how do you see the athleisure part growing, to reach that 2,000 crores that you have targeted? How much and how do you see the athleisure part growing? Because that will be the major, it will be helpful in increasing our margins.
So, our overall, if you see, our athleisure segment contributes around 13%. Last year it was 12% of our total sales. This year it is 13%. And if you are talking about Force Go Wear as a contribution to sales, because that was initially our casual wear brand only. But we are slowly doing away with that particular brand, and we have launched Dollar Man Athleisure just before the COVID lockdown happened. Like in the month of January we launched, and in the month of March the lockdown was called. So since then till now, we have significantly increased our total contribution in the athleisure segment, and currently we are standing at 13%. And also a couple of months back, we have launched women athleisure into this athleisure segment, which will start selling. Like we have already started dispatch of that particular product and getting a good response out of it. And overall, post NXT athleisure is also doing really good. So overall, at a company level, athleisure segment is doing around 13% of the total sales.
Okay. Sir, and how much do you see this going forward, like the contributions when you reach that 2,000 crores? How much will this segment be a part, total part of?
See, contribution based on the volume, the percentage won't move much, because our big boss, which is the mid-premium segment, and the economy range of product, which is Leher. So these two has huge volumes. So in order to change the percentage or see a considerable change in the overall percentage would be very difficult. The percentage movement would be very low, but in athleisure segment for next 2 to 3 years, we are seeing somewhere around 35-40% growth year on year.
Okay, fine. Second question would be on the project Lakshya. So in your presentation, you said that in the next couple of years, you want around 70% of your distributors to be under the project Lakshya scheme. So, but if I'm not wrong, in one of your previous calls, you had said that it's slightly difficult to get the big distributors, the large distributors under this project. So considering you want to reach that 70%, like, how do you plan to reach that 70% considering there are a lot of large distributors who don't actually want to come into this scheme? So how do you plan on achieving that?
So, see, this particular fiscal year was a setback to our industry. And it has took us back. To be very honest, and that's why only 87 distributors got enrolled in this particular fiscal year. But We aspire to complete this particular project in another 2.5-3 years time. So we really want to do it. In order to achieve that, we have to add new states to it. The team is very aggressive and enrolling new distributors into it. And we are trying our level best to get that particular enrollment happening. So if you see this year also at a company level we did a volume growth of somewhere around 5%. But when we mapped the Lakshya distributors last year vis-a-vis this year last full fiscal year versus this full fiscal year, the distributors on an average did around 19 to 20% volume growth. So that is the kind of results we are getting from that, and that's where we get a lot of conviction about this particular project. And we really want it to happen, and in next 2.5-3 years time we'll be I think we should be able to do it.
So if I'm not wrong, the distributors under Project Lakshya will be more from the new states, and the existing stronger states that you have, it may still take some more time to get the majority of the dealers under this scheme, right?
Yeah, so we are trying to cover the smaller states first, and so that we can get a good... we have to protect our market share as well, the sales in a particular market as well, because whenever we start rolling out a particular state, there's a dent in the sales in the first year. So in order to, we are trying to implement it in such a manner so that we have very less amount of sales dent happening in that particular state, or we don't lose our market share, because each and every player is becoming very aggressive in the market, and seeing such a good result in the economy range of products showcases that there are some of the regional players who have curbed their their market share is being transferred to the organized players. So that's what we think, and that's what we are working on.
Got it. Okay. So then my last question would be on the price reductions that you have taken in Q4. Do you see any more reductions in the next couple of quarters?
Currently in this quarter, we don't see any kind of a reduction. But since Q4 and till now, the cotton prices per candy has reduced by somewhere around 9,000 to 10,000 rupees, right? And we are just hoping for the best, because the yarn prices have not declined till now. So we are just hoping for the best.
Got it. Okay, sir. Thank you so much, and wishing you all the very best. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Keshav Garg from Counter Silicon PMS. Please go ahead.
Sir, I'm trying to understand. Sir, instead of focus on marketing, brand building, distribution, and cutting our working capital, instead of pushing volumes and increasing our premiumization of our products, sir, it seems that we are focused on the commodity side of the business, because we have land. That is why we are putting up yarn capacity. So if you look at the industry leader, he's the least integrated amongst all of you. They don't do anything. They just do some stitching, and then they focus on branding and marketing. So, and their average selling price is very, very high as compared to us. So how are they managing their quality without setting up a yarn mill?
So, to be very honest, if you're talking about page industries, it operates in a different segment, wherein it is a premium market, and we are the homegrown companies that we are. We cater to a separate market segment, right? So the price at a jockey level does not matter much. So it has a power that it can procure the fabric, and then thereafter it can manufacture goods. And it does not do some amount of stitching. There are 22,000 employees which are being employed just for the stitching and the elastic purposes, which are done almost 100% in-house. Almost 100%. I wouldn't say 100%. It is almost 100%. But they employ 22 to 25,000 employees just for that particular process. Secondly, it's not that we had land. That's why we are increasing the spinning unit or the process from cotton to yarn. Our major focus is still on the branding side. Our focus is still on the sales part of side, increasing the market share. It's just that we were trying to maintain that 20% in-house yarn manufacturing because of the since last year, 1.5 years, 2 years back, there was a huge shortage in the yarn industry also. The proper quality was not coming in, and we are very particular about the quality, and that's why we took a decision 2 years back, which is happening. So the machinery orders have already gone through, and it's an investment of somewhere around 50 odd crores, and we don't want to scrap that particular project, and it's not that we'll be having any kind of a operational loss due to increase in that particular capacity. But if you see the 2-3 approaches that we have taken in the past 2 to 3 years, it has always been towards building our brand. It has always been increasing our market share in the market. So what we have done is the Project Lakshya, the TOC program, which deals with the sales side. Secondly, opening up of the exclusive brand outlets, which deals with the brand awareness, increasing, changing the consumer perception towards the brand dollar. The third part which we did was the brand architecture, which no one in the industry has done. So instead of having 16 or 17 or 20 sub-brands under the umbrella brand dollar, we categorized it into 6 categories. Dollar man, dollar woman, dollar always, dollar thermals, dollar junior, and dollar protect. So this is the progressive thinking that the management has. This is where we are heading to, and this is our focus thing. And on the IT infrastructure part, we are implementing SAP. We have already implemented distributor management system amongst the Lakshya distributors. We are also working upon the auto replenishment system. So to make the system so robust that it will not only help us in the production planning, but also helps us giving insights in such a depth that we'll be able to take that feedback, convert it into a product and sell it to the market and work it on our advantage. So that's what we are doing currently.
Sure. Sir, also, sir, just wanted to share some feedback with you. Sir, I'm based in Pune and I went to a club in which all the waiters had a uniform in which the advertisement was being done of Airtel and other brands. So dollar D was also written on the t-shirt of the waiters. But I asked many people and nobody knew that what that D stands for. So although you are spending on advertisement, but so the question is of the effectiveness of that advertisement.
So let me answer you this way. We did the brand architecture 2.5 years back. It was in, I think, May 2020 when we launched our new brand logo and everything. Before that, we didn't have any mnemonic. So the D that you're talking about is a mnemonic, which we created 2.5 years back. So while advertising, we are already showing the mnemonic, but it needs time to have the consumer understand that this D belongs to the dollar. And that's why we have to spend a lot on the advertisement. That's why our advertisement costs are also higher, so that it gets registered to the consumer's mind. So whenever a new brand is launched with a mnemonic, let's say Tommy Hilfiger, that particular red and a blue line did not get registered in 2 to 3 years time. It's a process. So obviously it will take some amount of time, but yeah, this is doing wonders. We have gotten a very good feedback from the market. And people are actually liking this mnemonic concept because they never expected from a homegrown company like Dollar Who are for masses having a mnemonic and people wearing it with a pride. So we are working towards it, and that is our focus, that in next 2 to 3 years, people do recognize from that mnemonic ki ye dollar ka product hai.
Sure, sir. And sir, regarding our inventory and our receivables, sir, are we doing anything to reduce the same, sir? Our operating cycle is almost 1 year. So I'm sure something can be done to reduce the working capital.
So our working capital cycle in the last fiscal was somewhere around 155 days. And this year also we are at a similar level, 2-3 days plus minus.
So any scope to further reduce the same?
Yeah, yeah. So we have implemented distributor financing scheme and around 250 odd distributors are already there enrolled in that particular dealer financing scheme. That is one thing that we are doing. And on the inventory side, since we are launching new products every day and there are a lot of SKUs that we have launched in the couple of years. So because of that, the inventory is on a bit of higher side, but there's still a scope to reduce it by somewhere around 10 to 12 days.
Other than this, I want to clarify that we also implement production planning module in our SAP S/4HANA. In production planning module, we have to integrate with our dealer management system so that we have the data for last 3 years in which area which type of product requires. So once the system is integrated, then we reduce inventory level at every stage, whether it is knitting, whether it is bleaching, or whether it is cutting and making stage. So by this method, by invoking technology, we try to aspire to reduce our inventory days, and by channel financing, dealer financing scheme, we try to reduce our receivable days. So by FY25, our target to achieve the total working capital days within 120 days.
Sir, I didn't get the last part. But you said your target by FY25 is to reduce working capital days by
120 days. Reduce to 120 days. Currently, it is around 160.
Okay. Sir, if you see our receivable days, sir, it is between 100 and 110 days. And if you look at days, sir, their receivable days are at 11 days. Sir, so, I mean, sir, why do we need to give such a huge credit period to our distributors?
So, Page has a cash and carry model and it plays on the aspirations. People aspire to wear Jockey product or when it launched in India and it became a status symbol for the youngsters basically. So, it has that power to demand that. And he is the only player in that particular segment. And he was there as a sole player for a lot of years, like 20, 22 years. After that, a lot of other players, US Polo or a Levi's or a Van Heusen, started coming up. But in our kind of a market, we grew from economy range of products and now we are moving up the ladder. So initially we launched with, in 1972, we launched with economy range of products. And then in early 2000s, we launched Big Boss, which is our flagship brand. And it is like a mid-premium segment, class for mass kind of a thing. So we have grown from that particular level. And it's a crowded market. At a similar level, we have around 5 players, 3 are listed, 2 are in non-listed space. So, so as a policy, we have to extend that credit to in the market.
Okay, and so just lastly, sir, one last question, sir, is about our price positioning of our products on a blended average basis. Sir, how does our pricing compare with, let's say, Lux and Rupa?
So there's a difference of somewhere around 1.5%, 2% with our peer groups. We are on a lesser side. Initially, to gain market share, I'm talking about 20 years before. To gain a market share, to have a exceptional growth, that price gap was somewhere around 8 to 10%, and that's why we gained acceptance in the market also. And slowly and gradually, we are trying to decrease that price and come to a similar level. Till now, we have managed to reduce it to by 8%. And another 1.5 to 2%, I think we'll be able to reduce it in a couple of years.
Sure, sir. So thank you very much and best of luck. Sir, just one last feedback. Sir, like we are spending 6.5% of our revenues we plan to spend this year on advertisement. Sir, our competitors are also spending in the same ballpark. So until unless we do something different or we spend more effectively, then sir, we are back to square one. It's not that only we are spending 6.5% and others are spending 1-2%. Sir, so that's all from me, sir. Thank you very much and best of luck to you.
Thank you so much for the feedback.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Vishal Bagadia from Roha Asset Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. So just to continue on the spending capacity.
Mr. Vishal, may we request you to use the handset, please?
Yeah. Is it better?
Yes, sir. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you for the opportunity. So just to continue on the spending capacity side, you said that currently it caters 20% of our yarn requirement. So once the capacity is added, how much of the yarn requirement would be catered as you are almost doubling the spinning capacity?
So we are also trying to double our revenue, right? So ultimately, it will come down to 20% only. For a couple of years, you'll see that it has gone to 24%, 25%, 26%, but ultimately, it will come down to 20%.
Okay. And just wanted to understand what is the status of our CAPEX, both of integrated warehouse as well as the spinning capacity?
Regarding warehousing project in West Bengal Hojari Park, it is already completed. Just we have the waiting for the completion certificate. And with regarding spinning project, due to some delay in machinery part, we have to wait for 3-4 months. I expected by September we commence the trial process.
Sir, so just to follow up on this, why is it taking so long to complete the CAPEX? Because we were targeting this would have been completed somewhere by November earlier in the previous year. Then we shifted it and to March of this year, and now we are expecting it should go to September. So what is happening? Why is it just being pushed for almost a year now, and is there any cost escalation because of the same?
No cost escalation because we have to purchase the machinery and from only LMW is the only vendor who supply the machinery in domestic and Murata in the foreign source. So there is some part in delay from the vendor side only to supply the machinery and related accessory. So just we wait, and there is no escalation with regard to the price and cost for the machinery parts. Hello.
So the line for the participant has dropped. Maybe move to the next participant. Our next question is from the line of Ankush Agrawal from Surge Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the question taking. So just a couple of data keeping questions. So can you help me with the volume growth and revenue growth for Lakshya scheme for the quarter?
So it would be very difficult to talk about the over growth in Lakshya because there are some distributors who have got enrolled in the last 3 months who were not there in the previous year, and there are distributors who did 3 months of sale in the last fiscal and a complete full year of sale in this particular fiscal. So FY22 we did 100-odd crores of business through Lakshya distributors with 142 distributors. And this year with 229 distributors in totality, we did a total business of 240 crores. So the overall contribution, which was 8.33%, grew to 19.33% in this particular fiscal year.
You know, actually, till last quarter, you used to give a number wherein, you know, say for Q3, you gave this number of -5% volume growth for distributors who were there in Q3 FY22 and distributors who are still there in Q3 FY23, Lakshya scheme. So you should give those numbers. So if you can give that number for Q4.
Last time also we gave that key in Q3. Last year, in FY22 Q3, the distributors who were present there and the distributors who continued in the Q3 FY23, we shared a difference in that only. This year, if you compare Q4 this year versus Q4 last year, just give me a second. I think it is on FY24. So there are a lot of new distributors which got enrolled. So let me get back to you with this particular question.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. And lastly, just.
On an overall company level, company level, we did a volume growth of 19% vis-à-vis at a sorry, in Lakshya project, we did a volume growth of 19% and a value growth of 18% vis-à-vis in our regular overall at a company level, we did a volume growth of 5%. So you can actually see the difference which is there.
Yeah. But some of that is also because the number of distributors have increased, right?
No. So we have not taken that into consideration in that 19%. We took only those distributors who were present in FY22 and FY23 for the full year. We have considered them only.
Right. And any target for number of distributors to be added this year, FY24?
So we have Tamil Nadu and Kerala in the picture. Apart from that, we are doing Odisha, Northeast. So this particular fiscal, I think another 140 new distributors should get added.
Okay. 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 That was all. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Due to time constraint, that was the last question of our question and answer session. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
I take this opportunity to thank everyone for joining this call. I hope we have been able to address all your queries. For any further information, kindly get in touch with us. Thank you once again.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. On behalf of ICICI Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.